Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. Researchers learning more about breakthrough infections. UC San Diego doctors interested in studying them after an increase in infections among their healthcare workers. Most of them vaccinated. So what are they finding? We'll find out.
A new study finds masks do work, at least certain kinds of masks.
The pandemic causing even more problems with the semiconductor shortage.
Let's start, though, with breakthrough cases and what we can learn. Dr. Christopher Longhurst is Chief Information Officer and Associate Chief Medical Officer at UC San Diego Health. Doctor, what did you learn from this outbreak?
That's a great question. And as you described, what we saw was that about 2 weeks after the state reopened in mid-June, we started seeing more and more of our employees getting positive COVID tests. Now, our employees have the opportunity to test frequently. The tests are free, and we recommend it for any symptoms or exposure. And so we think we probably were able to pick things up sooner than we might have in certain patient populations. But uniquely, what we saw was not only a surge of employee infections occurring in July and August, but actually the majority of those, as you described, were in individuals who were fully vaccinated, which was eyebrow raising. And that's what made us look more closely into this.
Okay, so we had a couple things going on, right? Delta was starting to go around and we had masks coming off because it was the reopening where we in LA got a couple weeks of it before masks came back on here.
Yeah, you nailed it. We think that there's three things that contribute to the steep rise in infections. The first was the dropping of universal masking guidelines, which we saw in our own contact tracing data led to our healthcare workers having an average of 6 exposures to other people rather than the previous, you know, 2 or 3. That makes transmission more frequent, of course, right? The second was Delta. And in fact, we sequence all of our positive COVID results. And in the month of August, 97% of them were Delta, and that clearly had an impact of penetrating through the vaccine defense against infection. And then the third is there does seem to be some waning of immunity against infection. And I want to make this really clear for your listeners, because we know from other large data sets like Kaiser that these vaccines continue to be very effective against hospitalization and severe disease, which is what they're designed to be. In fact, in our hospital today, we have 60 individuals hospitalized with severe COVID. The majority of them are unvaccinated. Unfortunately, however, these vaccines are not preventing infection and transmission the way that we had hoped that they would before the COVID variants began to appear.
But as we've had many experts on this show tell us, you know, most vaccines don't prevent right infection. And the fact that these vaccines did, at least for, you know, some period of time, was kind of the, you know, the icing on the cake. But the real purpose of these vaccines to prevent, as you just said, hospitalization, severe illness, death, that seems to be holding up even among your own staff, right?
That's exactly right. We've had no hospitalizations. Of course, we have a healthy workforce. The median age is about 39 years old. But interestingly, we do contact tracing on all of our own employees. And the majority of those who had known exposures were community-based exposures, often in the household. And in one third of the cases, the household exposure was from a child. And so that was really interesting data that we've shared with the state, because, of course, as schools reopen, that's become an increasingly likely vector of transmission.
I'm wondering if we can bounce off your testing program with the idea that your tests were more readily available and probably a different kind of guideline than public at large. So if you were screening and flagging a lot of people, if they had, you know, one symptom, like, oh, my throat kind of hurts, or I've been a little stuffy, or whatever it is, and that turned out to be a breakthrough case, or however you want to term it, there's probably a bunch of people running around vaccinated who thought they got a cold for maybe a few days that could have been a cold, or, hey, maybe it was Delta and they got a mild case and they went about their business, which I guess is good news for them.
That's exactly right. I mean, you nailed that. Our healthcare workers are tested so liberally that we probably pick up cases that your average member of the public, you know, would not have tested for, right? Unfortunately, we still don't have those cheap, easy at-home tests that we wish we had. But we've made them universally available to all of our employees for free. And so that's helped us to pick this up, but it's also helped us to understand something that's harder to understand in the public that aren't testing as frequently.
Dr. Christopher Longhurst, Chief Information Officer, Associate Chief Medical Officer, UC San Diego Health. Thanks.
The one debate that will never seem to end, masks. Do they work? Don't they work? Can anything finally answer this question for good?
Maybe researchers from Yale, Stanford, and UC Berkeley. They did a study on this. It finds surgical masks can lower transmission. Dr. Stephen Luby is an epidemiologist and professor of infectious diseases at Stanford, co-author of the study. So, doctor, this is the big randomized trial we've been waiting for to finally get some answers.
Yeah, we went into this saying that we need a randomized trial in order to persuade people. And in order to do this, it needs to be big because the incidence of infection is low on a population level. So, yes, this is the gold standard trial to evaluate mask promotion.
And it showed what?
And it showed that we increased mask use in intervention communities, went from 13% up to 42%. So it tripled. I mean, it got better. It's still not great, but we did improve it. And with that level of improvement, we saw a 9% decline in COVID-19, and importantly, a 35% decline among people over the age of 60 who wore surgical masks. So we think this would even be a lot better if we could have gotten it even higher, but it does show you improve mask wearing, you reduce COVID-19.
Okay, so it's an error to read it and say, you know, masks only prevent 10%. If you'd scaled it up to, you know, near universal, then we'd be in a totally different place.
Exactly. Precisely. And people say, well, it looks like a small effect. Well, when you're going in the real world, when you're not doing this, you know, in a lab or something, and you need to persuade people by talking to them to put on a mask, we know that can be a challenge. So we're actually pretty enthusiastic about going from 13 to 42%. But yes, there is a lot of room for upside improvement.
Okay, so now let's say you're talking to somebody who's convinced that they need to wear a mask. Then the question becomes, what kind of mask? You know, we have people who wear bandanas, homemade cloth masks, surgical masks you've mentioned. Then there's the relatively expensive 95 masks, either the ones made in the U.S. or the ones made overseas. What does this study, if anything, show about that?
Well, we actually randomized on whether people got cloth masks, and these were good cloth masks. So these were cloth masks that we had manufactured in Bangladesh, and we tested them. They were designed here, and they were manufactured in Bangladesh and then tested here as well. So they're about as good as you're going to do with a cloth mask. And then we also, because the surgical masks are so much cheaper, then we also randomized to surgical masks. And what we found was that the surgical masks were what were driving all of the effect. That surgical masks, the people who wore surgical masks had a 12% reduction in COVID-19. And we actually didn't have enough statistical power to show an effect of the cloth masks. Now, the cloth masks did affect symptoms. And we think cloth masks are better than no masks. But one of the lessons that we take away from this trial is that filter efficiency matters. And so that masks that have better filter efficiency are likely to provide substantially better protection. That's a clear message from the study.
Is this protection for me or me protecting other people or both?
We think it's both. But the design of the study does not allow us to show that because we didn't. There are just some things in terms of how many blood tests we could do. We can't prove that to be the case. But everything in terms of the lab work and the modeling all suggests that this is a dual benefit. You protect yourself and you protect others.
So when you are not at work in a clinical setting, what kind of mask do you wear?
I am wearing an N95 now. After the results of these studies, I was not before. But the results of these studies have demonstrated to me that filter efficiency matters. So I personally have upgraded to an N95.
Okay, so then that leads to the question that there are people who are going to say, well, is there a kind of benefit versus comfort level that needs to be taken into account, as well as cost, because 95s are more expensive than surgical, and some people find it difficult to breathe adequately with a 95.
It can get kind of hot in there.
Yeah. How do you work that through?
So the best mask is the one that people will wear. So comfort really matters. And I would definitely encourage people to look at some of the KN95s, which are cheaper. And there are also some braces that people can wear, even around standard surgical masks that will reduce side flow. So yes, I do think that comfort matters and cost matters. In Bangladesh, we told people you can wash your surgical masks. You don't need to throw them away. You can wash them with detergent and dry them. And in fact, we took these through 10 cycles. And even through 10 cycles of washing, rinsing, and drying, they still had filtration efficiency that well outperformed cloth masks. So we actually think that you can reduce costs by washing things that historically have been a use once and discard from a medical perspective.
Why Bangladesh?
Because Bangladesh had a low level of vaccination, and it looked like a long time before vaccine would be in place. Only 2% of people were vaccinated by the time we did the study. In addition, although the government had recommended people to wear masks, and they reported when you asked them, when we did phone surveys, 80% were saying that they wear masks. But when we sent people out to the field, we saw it was down more like 10%. And so we saw there as being a real gap. And we thought this was a place. I lived in Bangladesh for 8 years. Mushfiq Mubarak from Yale was born in Bangladesh. And so this is a place that we also have very deep connections with, and so that we had the capacity to pull off a trial of this complexity.
Dr. Stephen Luby, epidemiologist, professor of infectious diseases, Stanford Medical School, co-author of the new masking study.
Coming up after a short break, the microchip shortage in the U.S. now impacting some of your favorite cars. The global shortage of computer chips getting worse. General Motors saying it is stopping production at 7 North American plants during the next 2 weeks, including 2 that make the company's top-selling Chevy Silverado pickup.
Ford will also stop making pickups at its Kansas City plant next couple of weeks. It's all because COVID has hit workers and chip factories, forcing some plants to close. Dan Hirsch, managing director of automotive and industrial practice at Alex Partners. So, Dan, we had heard maybe this was going to ease, but it doesn't appear to be getting better, at least for not every automaker.
Yeah, I would agree. It certainly feels that things are accelerating. And what we're seeing kind of on the ground here is the semiconductor issue is easing, but at the same time, we've really hit the thin part of other supply availability for other raw materials. The labor shortages are causing problems, and so there's just so many things going wrong, that continue to go wrong, that are causing these disruptions. And at this point, it's just impossible to point to any one thing except the pandemic generally that's causing the continued shutdowns.
And what does this mean for consumers?
It means continued low inventory and high prices for our cars, for new cars and used cars. So holding on to vehicles as long as you can, maintaining them. It's going to mean high prices for vehicles of all types, probably for another few months, certainly well into 2022.
Yeah, I know there's some people with used cars that I know that are thinking, okay, well, the value is sky high, so I want to get rid of this thing. But then they go and they can't get something new, yeah. So then they're stuck.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, it's a great time if you have an extra vehicle or a mode of transportation that you can use to replace your car. I mean, the same is true in housing, right? If you have an extra house that you can sell, it's a great time to sell it. But if you're just swapping one for another, you're really not gonna be better off. There's no arbitrage here.
And when it comes to cars, I mean, this is really the problem of having cars become, you know, basically driving computers, right? I mean, in the days before all the technology on cars, this wouldn't be an issue whatsoever.
Sort of. I disagree with that in a little bit because some of these shortages, some of these shutdowns are due to labor shortages in some of the supplier plants. You know, automakers aren't 100% transparent about which shutdowns are due to which components. And we are actively helping companies find coils of steel, special bar stock. I mean, any number of other raw materials are also in shortage, and transportation is extremely expensive and extremely scarce, particularly ocean freight from Asia to the United States. Those are all adding to this.
But are they short labor because people are getting sick with COVID? Are they short labor because people have decided to go to other occupations? I mean, people who work in auto manufacturing, they make usually pretty good money.
Yeah, it's hard to point to any one thing, to be honest. It seems to be a conflagration of a lot of issues. Some of it is unwillingness to work in close quarters. Some of it is just an ability to get by on whatever the stimulus currently is. Some of it is it's tough to get childcare, right? And the choice between paying for childcare and working for the types of wages that we've had in the past, even, you know, relatively highly paid auto workers, people have definitely made different choices. But, you know, at the same time, I think your point about, you know, COVID keeping people away or weakening the workforce is also true.
Dan Hirsch, Managing Director, the Automotive and Industrial Practice at Alex Partners. Dan, thanks.
If scientists develop a drug that can fight off COVID after someone's already infected, a snake might be to thank. Researchers in Brazil found a molecule in the venom of a type of snake limited coronavirus reproduction in monkey cells. Now, they say the molecule is already known for its antibacterial qualities, and it can be made in a lab. The researchers say they will next look at whether that molecule can prevent the virus from entering cells in the first place. Now, they do warn that people shouldn't go out and hunt the snake or others thinking that they're going to save the world and end the pandemic. It's not the venom that will cure COVID-19.
This is an Odyssey original. You can find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.